Good morning. It looks like our piano player is a little bit late this morning, so we are just going to get started with our welcome. We ask for favor. Oh, this is Steve Garness Holmes. We ask for favors for this little victory, that little narrow escape. And so often, that's not what we receive. Because God gives us something else, something greater, the whole thing, the entire realm of God's grace. We get this huge, glorious planet, the crashing seas and the rumbling mountains. We get frogs and koalas and puffins and moon and stars and a sun that never forsakes us. God gives us gravity that holds us and color and food and wind and rivers. We get the whole human family, all our beauty and strangeness and woundedness, our music and dancing and wild inventions. We're given forgiveness and belonging and hope. A world mostly unrecognized where we are loved and blessed and made whole, however broken we are. We receive grace hidden in everything, whether pleasant or painful. We get God's steady presence closer than our own nerves, breathing with us, hurting with us, rising with us. It is God's joy to give us the whole works, even in trying times. It's okay. Do not be afraid. We've been given more than we need. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Sarah Lynn. My pronouns are she, her. And no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about what is happening here at FCC and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. We are so happy to welcome back the Reverend Linda Michelle to our pulpit this morning. Reverend Linda serves on the board of WAMS, which is the Worcester Area Mission Society. She is a member of the Worcester branch of the NAACP and other civic groups. She preaches often in area churches and always looks forward to time with her family who live in the area. So children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful to you. We have lovingly staff nursery care. Hello, nursery. And we have our playground for, we've got a few kids up in the playground today. That's great. And so there is no godly play, but we do have a nursery upstairs. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people just had to follow him. But they didn't know who he was. And so once when they asked him, he said, "I am the light." And the light that was in one place at one time is now in all places at all times. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Lane. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "Come as you are." Come, brothers and sisters and siblings, come as you are. Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here all around us.
Come as you are.
Come, let us worship together.
Come as you are. Amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn is number 72, There's a Wilderness in God's Mercy. Please rise in body. What?
Wideness.
What'd I say?
Wilderness.
Oh, wideness. It's both. It's both. It's wild and wide. Please rise in body or spirit as you are able. Please be seated, but you already know that. Very good. Our centering prayer. Lord of life, light and life, you have called us this day to open our hearts, our minds, our spirits, to hear your words of encouragement, healing, and hope. Give us patience and willingness to serve you in all that we do. May the warmth of your presence give us courage for these days, and the clarity of your light give us discernment toward a future with hope. We pray in the name of Jesus, who invites us to pray in this way. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It happens when the fire of God's love streams through the systems that breed fear, hate, scarcity, greed, and despair. Christ came that we might have the peace that passes all understanding. Peace that means a just world for all. On this day, let us pass the peace so freely given to one another. May Christ's peace be with you.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and the earth on the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time?
So I see that there are quite a few young people here. Lane is a little taller than I am. So you can stay up there, but I have something that I would love to share with you a little closer, if you'd like. Because I've got questions to ask. So, and you adults can listen in. So, have any of you ever done something to hurt someone else? Yeah, sometimes. I know I have, hopefully not recently, but when I was maybe around your age, I had an older brother, and I was so jealous because he had a paper route and he had money. And I didn't. And I wanted to go to the movies, and I had money to go to the movies, but I didn't have any money to buy candy. So I knew where he kept his money. And I took it. Not a lot. I didn't think he would even notice. Even at that age, my brother knew where his money went. My mother knew also, and she told me that I had to tell him I was sorry. And that was hard, because he had worked hard, and I had done something I knew I shouldn't do. And my brother, I know, forgave me. And I talked to him last week via Zoom, and I told him that story, and he said, I don't remember that. Okay. So sometimes we do things that hurt other people. Can you read this up here? Can you come closer if you need? What does it say? It says hurt. Right. Yes, you got it. Whoa. So I like to think of those things that we do that hurt others are oops. We don't mean to, I hope. We just sometimes do something by not thinking. So I've got something here that reminds me of God's love. So I think God takes those things that hurt, those things that we've done that hurt others, and he changes the whole thing. He takes that eraser and he makes the U an O. And he takes the R Can you tell me what that says? Doesn't say anything yet, right? Hope. Yeah. Yeah. So God takes our hurts, even the things that have hurt us, and through his love, he turns it to hope. So I've got erasers here if anybody wants some. I mean, in my life, I don't make many mistakes, so I don't need them all. So you can come and, yeah. You want to share? Just see if anyone else wants one. Let's take a moment to give thanks. Dear God, we are so thankful that you are a God who does not remember our mistakes time and time again. You take your beautiful eraser of love and invite us back into the fold of your love that never ends, so that we can share it with others, that they might know that love as well. We are so thankful that you have given us Jesus as a way to express that love. Amen. I was glad that Sarah Lynn used a poem from Steve Garness Holmes, a retired Methodist pastor who writes in a blog called Unfailing Light. He uses the text, "Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. This is not the division of enmity, but of standing up for what you know, even if others will think ill of you, even those you love. When you are faithful to who you are, what you truly think and feel, it may displease some who want you to conform, or at least pretend. We do it all the time. We go along to get along. Sometimes just be yourself is an invitation to profound loneliness. The beloved knows. Take courage to stand apart, to let others navigate their own anxiety. You're not alone." Will you pray with me? Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Some years ago, long before I ever thought of becoming a pastor, my pastor asked me to preach on a Sunday when he was going to be away on vacation. Now, that was daunting enough, but when I read the lectionary passage assigned, it floored me. It was the same as this week's, with slightly different wording, something about Jesus bringing a sword. Now, I don't know about you, but at the time, my impression of Jesus was of one who turned the other cheek, who instructed his followers to forgive one another as many times as it took, even 70 times seven. I had never read this passage. I couldn't imagine what I would say. And I was ready to ask if I could find another one, except I was too embarrassed to do so. So I reread and studied the text for a while. And I thought about the times in which we were living. There was a lot of unrest in the country and in the world. My children were pretty young, and I wondered what their future would be, especially the boys, in the seemingly endless wars that young people were being called up to participate in. The previous decade had ushered in the civil rights movement, and our northern consciences were awakened to the way people of color had been systematically denied opportunities, not only in the South, but right here in Massachusetts. The town of Ware had one black family, the same as the town that I grew up in, the Berkshires. Most of us had never questioned why that was so. The school desegregation battles in the city didn't affect us, so we thought. The divisions over the Vietnam War often pitted the generations against one another. Parents were outraged when their sons began sporting long hair. I wonder what they would think now. And their daughters began talking back, oh my. And where I was living, many saw hippies as foolish young people whose peace movement was antithetical to the American way. They were right, but not in a positive way. As I recall, my message homed in on the family divisions, how people were, young people especially, were pushing the boundaries of acceptable behavior. I also mentioned how some people fussed about the way young people dressed, and how sometimes the little ones made too much noise. Oh my. Pretty mild stuff. I also brought up what had been a big controversy in town, the date and timing of the annual Little League parade. Many, myself included, were really unhappy that the officials chose Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the parade start. Fortunately, my oldest boy wasn't interested in Little Leagues, so it really wasn't a big deal for our family. But a lot of us were put out nonetheless. We were convinced that because most of the officials were Catholic, they didn't consider how the parade would be marching up Church Street right in the middle of our service. And it did. Not when I was preaching, however. To be honest, I don't remember how I tied my message all together. Probably some platitude about learning to live together with our differences. It's not that I was totally wrong, but it was just really skimming the surface because I still couldn't wrap my mind around Jesus using such divisive language. It could also be that I used to be conflict avoidant. It took me years to figure out that the best way to solve a conflict or resolve a conflict is to face it head on. Now fast forward 50 years, and the world has become infinitely more complex, infinitely more divided. There's no question in my mind that Jesus would be talking this way today, maybe even using charts and diagrams to get his message across because we don't get it. We're just that messed up. Luke's gospel makes Jesus' mission and ministry quite clear. It's to prepare the way for God's realm on earth, or sometimes called the kingdom of God, waiting for it to unfold in all its glory. All Jesus' parables point to this, the time when those who have lived on the margins, those who were excluded from polite society, those who were told that they didn't belong, found a place at the center of God's love. Make no mistake, Jesus' message was a threat to the status quo. His message was a threat to both the established religious authorities and the Roman Empire. For his followers, it was life-giving. The powerful leaders thought that they had shut down this disturbance to Pax Romana when they murdered Jesus. How mistaken they were. They had not counted on resurrection. The power brokers today still don't understand. To be quite honest, I never imagined all those years ago that we would find ourselves in the situation that we have today. Naively, I thought that we were on our way to fully recognizing the need for all people to live together peacefully. I mean, centuries of wars never really solved anything, and we're smart people, right? Wrong. These past few years, with the war in Ukraine, the horrifying situation in Gaza, and too many other places, we understand more fully how the forces of evil are always lurking, waiting for an opportune time to instill their poison in the hearts of individuals and whole peoples that have no clue as to what is happening. Jesus complained that his audience could tell the weather by certain signs, but had no idea how to interpret the present signs. He could address us in the same way. We know a lot of things, and if we don't know them, we can just Google a question, and there the answer is. Sometimes multiple options, and then we have to make a choice about which one we believe. And yet, with all that knowledge, we fail to see how the success of folks who had been previously marginalized by discrimination would sow the seeds of resentment that has grown a bitter harvest of hate. Our twin national sins of racism and greed are at the foundation of our present strife. There are many reasons we miss the signs. Remember that long ago Little League parade? Something so minor as this and other activities created an environment where the pressure to repeal Sunday blue laws had their effect. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those who say we should go back to the good old days, because in truth, they never really were all that good for everybody. You know, when you couldn't go shopping on Sunday. I do think a lot was lost when families no longer took the idea of Sabbath rest seriously. It's something we all need for restoration. I propose a Sabbath time from internet scrolling. And I'm, yes. It makes me feel sad when I pass a Walmart or shopping mall on the way to preach at different churches, like this morning. There always seems to be huge crowds. And while this church, blessedly, has a decent crowd, congregation, I should say, so many don't. They feel lost, that no one cares. And it's not true. And we find that people are lost because they don't have that place of community and comfort, a place of belonging that is so necessary for our well-being. This church is blessed. There are other churches, and they're filled. They're filled with folk who believe in the prosperity gospel. You know, the belief that members are successful because God has particularly blessed them because they live perfect lives. I don't doubt that God blesses them. God blesses and loves all of creation. What I do doubt are the conclusions they draw from their apparent financial success. Over and over again, Jesus' message is about God's economy of love, not the economy of Wall Street. Jesus calls us to stop fretting over our financial well-being and live as if there was enough of everything to share. That is such a rich way to live. I recall my mother in her last years fretting that she would live longer than the money that she had put away. So sad. And she died long before she should have. I feel sad for those folks, too, who believe that the only way for our nation to be great again is for everybody to believe in the same way and to believe God in the same way. It is a narrow vision, one that excludes so many people. My impression is that there are many who call themselves Christian who believe that the fire that Jesus is talking about is incendiary, that it will destroy the earth and all that is evil, but those who are worthy will be raptured up to heaven when Jesus comes again. They forget, if they ever knew, the fire of Pentecost removed barriers of speech and ethnicity from all that were gathered. Peter's great speech reflected that of the prophet Joel when he talked about how the Spirit was being poured out on all people. How was the time when men and women, young and old, slaves and free, could envision a new reality? The early church understood how the desire to be powerful and wealthy stood in the way of the transformational power of the Holy Spirit. It was a lesson lost when empire and Christianity joined forces. Critics of religion point out that centuries of war have been instigated by religious forces, and they're not wrong. By the same token, religious folk have done much good. And I believe that this is the paradoxical nature of who we are as humans. Within each one of us, there is the capacity for good and evil, with good mostly winning the day. It's too bad that we let media flood us with stories that depict the worst of us, and we believe that of ourselves. Stories that used to be featured in sleazy newspapers and magazines, you know, as you were checking out at the grocery store, most of us would pass on reading. But now they flood every possible media outlet. It is impossible to escape, unless you stop that doom scrolling. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And I believe that the way to peace is to confront head-on the evil that has become pervasive in our culture. We are called to follow Jesus as disruptors of a system that attempts to exclude and label folks as illegal, sinful, less than. Today, I believe we're calling to be disturbers of the false peace that some leaders claim will make us safe. Our so-called safety is meaningless if we lose our soul for the sake of security. In these challenging times, it's been a source of hope for me to read Richard Rohr's book, The Tears of Things. He talks about how the prophets that we read about in Hebrew scriptures always start out yelling and proclaiming how evil the people are and how they didn't listen, and they're right, because they don't. And then there's trouble. But finally, there is celebration and joy. The main theme that Rohr talks about is how throughout recorded history, there have been cycles of order, disorder, and reorder. Our most recent past saw a time of order following World War II, followed by the disorder that we've been experiencing for many years now, to where we are today. Finally, out of the chaos of disorder, a new order emerges, a time when there are no new possibilities for God's kingdom to be manifest. So I encourage you, look for signs of hope. Be a voice for the voiceless. Open your hearts to share the love of God we know through Christ. We've done it before, and with God's help, we'll do it again. I can't help but think about John Lewis, the late John Lewis, who urged us to get into good trouble. Change happens when we're not passive, when we feel that there is no hope and that there's no way forward. And I know you folks are doing what you can to be disturbers of the peace in ways that show your love, not only for one another, but for all around you. Jesus, the great disturber, the Prince of Peace, has shown us the way. And may we walk on that path, even when times are hard. We will overcome. Amen. We come now to the time in the service when we lift up our joys and our concerns. I ask if there are any you'd like to share now. Yes, Lane. New birth is always wonderful.
Linda, we have a few that came in on our email. So from the Dubois family, they have a joy that Rick is starting a full-time permanent job tomorrow. Please send positive thoughts his way as he starts this new position.
Rick has a new job.
Yes.
That's great.
And then they also have a concern. They would appreciate prayers for their friend Joan. She was recently diagnosed with cancer for the third time and will be meeting with doctors this week to determine a treatment plan.
Yes. Yes. Susan. Yes. I have granddaughters who are teachers, and yes. Let us be in a time of prayer. Holy God, we live in difficult times, and we know that there have always been difficult times. Always people who are hurting, people who are suffering, people who are lost and lonely. Places where bitter anger through decades, even centuries, have resulted in wars that seem to never end. We think and pray for the innocents,
the children, most especially, who live in places of war, who suffer the consequences when leaders cannot seek an enduring peace, a peace that means the absence of conflict, but also justice for all people. We pray for leaders who seem to have fallen into a path that leads us far away from your love and your care. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance that they and we might find a way through conflict and hatred. We give thanks for the blessing and abundance of this nation, where there is more than enough for everyone to share if only we could find the means and the heart to do so. And we give thanks for this congregation that is a light in the community, that shows the light of your love to their neighbors and to the world. And we celebrate the birth of children, of grandchildren and great-grandchildren that bring such joy and such hope for the future, not only to their siblings and their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, but to anyone who looks on the face of a child. We celebrate that Rick has a new job. May he find the fulfillment in this as he begins his new work. We pray for Joan, who's suffering from a recurrence of cancer, and for Susan. And on this time, as we move toward the end of summer, we offer prayers for parents and children, teachers, all those who will be heading back to school. May they find a place of wisdom in addition to knowledge, a place of joy rather than fear, and a place where they learn ways to help us be a better people. We pray, O God, with a fervent request that you turn our hearts and all hearts to your peace. Amen. As we come to our time of offering, may the gifts we share be used to supply the needs of this church and the wider community. When we live out of abundance, we resist the powers of evil, reject the lie of scarcity, and assert trust in our God who provides. May our gifts reflect the blessings we have received and the faith we proclaim. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One who provides and who refines, we offer these gifts to you in gratitude and hope. May they extend beyond these walls, helping to create the spark of hope and joy that dispels despair. May needs be met and lives changed through our giving and our living. Receive these gifts as our tangible prayer that your kingdom come and will be done. Amen. Our closing hymn is, "Let There Be Peace on Earth," a fervent prayer. And now, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God give you peace in your going out and your coming in, and your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and your tears, until you come before God in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.